And our text comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And we pray. O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray that you will open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that through the preaching of your word we may be taught to repent of our sins, to believe on Jesus in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but I'm always troubled by these verses in Scripture that promise long life for the believer. And I'm troubled because, you know, I'm sorry, I just don't see the evidence. I don't see the guarantee. I mean, look at this promise here that we start out with. Do not forget my law. All right, the idea here is don't become oblivious to God's law. All right, don't live your life as if God's law doesn't exist. You know, we talk about having our Bibles on a coffee table at home gathering dust. I would say, don't allow the Word of God to sit on the shelf of your heart, gathering dust either. Don't be oblivious. That's the idea here, forgetting the law of God. Rather, we should, as it says here, let your heart keep my commands. Now, that's interesting in itself too, and another teaching point of this message is, how in the world can your heart, which is the seat of your emotions, keep anything? We associate our hands with keeping things, with doing things, not our heart. And again, the teaching point here is to get us to understand, when you see that word keep in Scripture, I keep repeating it, but it's important, the idea is not obedience. The idea is to treasure, to put a hedge around something. So when you keep something, it is valuable to you. And if it's valuable to you, like the Word of God ought to be, then obedience will flow. When the heart treasures God's Word, the hands and the feet and the body will follow. But guaranteed long life? I just don't see it. I mean, let me give you some examples here. Think about Keith Green. We just sang one of his songs. Oh, Lord, you're beautiful. Dead at the age of 28 in an airplane crash. We sang a song by Rich Mullins. Awesome God. Dead at the age of 41 in a Jeep accident. Then there's Jim Elliot, Nate Saint, and the three others who were martyred in the jungles of Ecuador in the 1950s, all in the ages between 27 and 32. And just recently, 5-year-old Maria Chapman, the daughter of Stephen Curtis Chapman, killed tragically in her own driveway. What? I mean, weren't these people people who treasured God's word? I think they were. Was, you know, Maria Chapman disobedient and dishonoring her parents? Is that why her life was shortened? I mean, look at the promise of Ephesians 6:1. And especially for you young people here today, and I guess that just zeroes in on you, Josh, but children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Well, Maria Chapman, I'm sorry, did not live long on this earth. 5 years. And neither did the others that I mentioned. So what could be meant by these passages promising long life that are scattered throughout all Scripture? This is not an isolated passage here. Let me give you some of them. Deuteronomy 5:33. You shall walk in all your ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Deuteronomy 11:18-21. Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. 1 Kings 3:14. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. Proverbs 10:27, the last one I'll mention here. The fear of the Lord prolongs days. I mean, the evidence is everywhere. Now, first of all, do you see the conditions of the promise? Do you see what our part is in all of this? That's the first part we need to look at. We need to fear the Lord, walk in His ways, and treasure His word. If we do these things, they are supposed to bring long life and length of years. And yet you and I have known people who have sought to do these things, and yet they have died at an early age due to illness, a heart attack, or an accident. So what's going on here? Something else must be meant. And I would propose to you this, that God does not measure the way we do. He does not measure our lives by the length of our days. He measures by the breadth. B-R-E-A-D-T-H, by the breadth, the depth. Because God is not so much about linear measurement, is He? In fact, He's kind of sloppy with it. A day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. Linear measurement, not His thing. He doesn't measure our lives in years, days, hours, or minutes. Rather, He measures them in their fullness. And by that, I mean a life that is lived in fulfilling God's purpose for it. Or purposes. Length of days and long lives are those which have been used by God and filled with the things of God. And in this sense, even a child, Maria Chapman, who lived to be 5 years old, had a lengthier life than a 90-year-old atheist, because it was more full. Live large. You see the coffee cup in the front of your bulletin, a cup that is filled over and spilled over into the saucer. No, it's not live sloppy, it's live large. Live large. Live in God's fullness. Live according to His mercy and His truth. You take a measuring cup. I got two of them right here. Okay? Now, if you were to take and measure this one here to a quarter of a cup, you'd have a line coming up to here. And then if you would take this one and measure it up to two cups, you'd have a line up there. Which one is longer? The one that's more full. And so fullness is equal to length. You understand what we're saying here? The fullness of God. That's the way He looks at the length of days. That's the way it is with those who walk in His ways, who fear Him, who treasure His word. They have length of days. They have fullness of cup, no matter what their chronological age. And you've heard it said that the good die young. I would say that the good die full. The good die full. Age has nothing to do with it. They die with cups running over. The psalmist says, my cup runneth over. Psalm 23:5. And why does it run over? Because the Lord is His shepherd, His Savior, His guide. Beloved, do not be oblivious to God's law, to God's word. Treasure His word and allow it to break out in trust and obedience that your cup may be filled. What did Jesus say in John 10:10? I have come that they may have life and that they might have it what way? Abundantly, spilling over, more breadth, more length. He lengthens our days. He gives us an abundance of life. It fills our cup because as we trust Him and as we believe in Him and as we are baptized, He first of all in our baptism makes us fit vessels for the Holy Spirit, who then brings this love of God's Word and causes us to treasure it. What is the Word? It is the personification of Jesus. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12:3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, calls the Word accursed. Do you want a meaningful, measurable life apart from the linear measurement that we see that of the world and through eternity? Well, then don't be oblivious to God's word. Treasure it and let Him fill your cup. And then he says in verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Mercy and truth. Right here. They're like these helium balloons. Mercy and truth. And don't let them forsake you. Mercy and truth is found in God's Word. And mercy and truth is given to me that I might give it to you. And it's given to you so that you can give it to Sandy. And it's given to Sandy so she can give it to Robin. We are not to hoard the mercy and truth that comes to us from God. We are to dispense it to others. And there's a concealed warning here for us. This mercy and truth that we get in God's Word is first of all His mercy for salvation and truth for day-to-day living. But they're like these helium balloons because He says, let not, don't allow them to depart from you. Hang on to them. Because they can depart from you. Mercy and truth are found in God's Word. So strive to hold on to your Devo time. I heard that term this week. I like it. Your Devo time. Your devotional time. Hang on to it. Don't let it go. Strive to put those things that God teaches you in His Word into practice and bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Mercy and truth. And if you do that, verse 4 says, you will find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Living in God's mercy and truth enlarges you, enlarges your life, lengthens, gets that cup overflowing in the eyes of God and in the eyes of men. And in that sense that we've been talking about, it lengthens it. And then in verse 5, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. As I was caring for Grandpa Bangs this week, I was thinking about this verse, about not leaning on our own understanding. You know, he's 95 years old, and he just doesn't fall that much. You know, when you get to be that age, you fall a lot. But he understands what it is to lean on something for support. You know, when he gets on his walker, he gets up, he doesn't walk like this. He leans into it. He's leaning on his walker. And it really struck me when he was in the bathroom sink washing up. Because you and I would just sit there and go, you know, wash up like this. But he has to lean into that sink to do it. And it's a visible demonstration of what we need to do as we go through life. We need to lean into God. Lean into His understanding. And not our own. Sometimes I think the good Lord keeps Grandpa here just so I can keep using him for sermon illustrations. Because there are many. Yeah, there are many. He says in verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Follow God's Word. Don't rely on your own ideas for living. You know, the psalmist says, acknowledge God in all your ways. Tip your hat to Him. Hey God, it's You. You alone, God. Your Word, it's You, it's not me. Tip your hat. Acknowledge God in all your ways, all throughout the day. Look for God and His activity in your life, and then tip your hat to Him. Thank You, Lord. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. When you do that, He promises to direct your life. And lives led by God are lives with fuller cups. As I look out here and I see the young people in our congregation, and I've talked with you, and I've observed you, and the testimonies that you already have in your lives because you have learned what it is to lean on God. Some of you, God had to kind of strip away some underpinnings, didn't He? And He kind of forced you to lean on Him. But the testimonies that you have now because you have experienced His faithfulness, and your cups get a little bit fuller. And you know what? He wants to add more. He wants to add more to our cups. He's not done yet. And one of the traps that we fall into is we kind of try to rush ahead of Him, you know. And rather than just letting Him do it. He's in charge of filling up our cups, you know. Don't try to figure it out. Just keep pouring more of God and the Holy Spirit into you. And looking for opportunities to exercise that faith and that trust. And the cup is filled. Luke 8:18 says, therefore take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken away. Verse 7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, do you know what this verse is saying? It's saying that it is evil to be in awe of yourself. That's what it's saying. It is evil to be in awe of yourself, rather in awe of God. Yesterday I was doing my radio program at WEMI, and the day in history was, yesterday was Toot Your Own Flute Day. And I went, you know what? That's wonderful for the world, but that doesn't work for a Christian, does it? That's what the Pharisee was doing. Look at me, I tithe, I'm William, I'm Mr. Wonderful, you know? And no, the Christian says, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Yeah, we don't toot our own flute, no. We don't walk around saying, look what I've done, look how many people I've led to Christ. Wasn't that a great sermon I preached last week? No. No. That's evil. Rather be in awe of God, because that's the secret of departing from evil. Because when you do, when you are in awe of God, you depart from evil. And verse 8 says, it'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And again, we see the promise of a robust spiritual life for those who fear the Lord and walk in His ways. Oh, some of you are starting to get this. You've received that merciful forgiveness. And I know, I see you. I see you daily in God's Word. I see you searching and exploring His truth, seeking His face. And I know that you're treasuring His Word, and it's breaking out in trust and in action. And your days, whether you realize it or not, are being lengthened, stretched. Your cup is being filled with the fullness of God and the abundant life that Jesus has intended for you. And I've seen you walking around with these balloons and handing them off to other people. Here, see some of God's mercy. Here is some of God's truth. And for all of us, it's important to remember that it's never too late to start or to restart your Devo life. It's never too late to start, or if you stopped, to kick it back in again. Never too late. And it's never too early either. Our first lesson in the confirmation class for this year, I'll give you a quote from our workbook. I do this, Jenny, so that you know what John is getting here. You know, you may want to pull him out after you hear some of the stuff that I'm teaching him. Okay? I mean, this is from the first lesson. The Bible is totally and completely the Word of God and is my greatest treasure. I am to love it and study it every day, especially since it teaches me the way of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. This is why I am in confirmation class. My faith in Jesus will be confirmed or strengthened. When this happens, my life will change for the better. It will be lengthier, okay? And I will be living out of thankfulness to Jesus and what He has done for me. My prayer is that God will truly bless me as I hear and keep His Word. That's what we're giving your kids in confirmation. And it's a prayer that God will be pleased to answer. And it's the thrust of this portion of the book of Proverbs. This is the length of days and the long life that He desires for all of His children, that He desires for all of you. It's living the life that God has fully laid out before you in His Word. And may He give that fullness to each and every one of you as you cease to be oblivious to His Word and start treasuring it for all it is. In a little while, we're going to invite you to the Lord's table. And I at the Lord's table, it's just another opportunity to clean the cup. Clean her all out, make her a fit vessel. So for the week ahead, just pour more Jesus in. More of God and His Word. And when you leave here this morning with your cups clean, will you do that? Will you seek to fill it with God this week? Will you seek to fill it with His Word? Will you seek to fill it with the things that He calls you to do? on a day-by-day basis. Open yourself up to Jesus and His Word. This is the promise of our text today. And your days will be lengthened. Your cup will be filled and overflowing. Amen. And amen.